is not in our space-time configuration. Our universe has 7 different space-time configurations. And in each one of these different space-time configurations, there are planets and stars. And it's very interesting. I just found out today that there are 7, I think it's called 7 main virtues of the human being. And so everything's in 7s in Meyer information, because they study our universe and they tell us that the creation works in terms of 7. So our universe has 7 different space-time configurations, and these Pleiaren are some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades in a different space-time configuration. Now, what happens as you study the Meyer material, you start to move a little bit away from some of the other things, like dealing with ancient history and dealing with extraterrestrials and things like that. Although I'm very interested in those topics. And you start delving more and more into the spiritual teachings, more and more and specifically into the German language. And I have about 7 topics for us tonight. But I'm going to start with what I would call moderateness. Since that's the number one main virtue of the human being is moderateness. And I didn't know that until today. How did I discover this today? Well, I was sitting down. I just had been doing a lot of things today. I wasn't very moderate. I was very, very busy doing a lot of things. Not preparing for this show, basically. And then about 2 p.m., I started, okay, now I got some time to really prepare for the show. And as I was working on all this stuff, my thinking wasn't real clear and my planning wasn't as methodical as it usually is. And then I thought, well, okay, I'm going to stop and I'm just going to open it up, open up the Mighty Thoughts to what I've been, I think where I left off was like page 176 was where things were really starting to gel again. Now, what I'm really reading now is more like on page 230. And like I said, I've probably been through this book a dozen times. So I'm reading on page 176, and I come across this sentence that says, well, there's several sentences here that are very, very interesting. But it says here, and once the thoughts are controlled by immoderateness, then neither clear thinking nor methodical planning can come about, resulting in every determination having to therefore fail. So I think the title for today's show can be pulled out of that rather long sentence. So I decided, well, there's my topic for today. I have some other things we can fall back on, but let's focus on this now. And I'll try to cover a few things, and then I'll open it up to my guests who I'm sure have a lot of very interesting things to say. First of all, what is moderateness? Moderateness means being within reasonable limits, not excessive or extreme. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, there's a lot of times when I'm pretty excessive. And it's funny, like I said, while preparing for this show, I was feeling excessive again. So the section that says your thoughts are controlled by immoderateness, that kind of rung a bell for me, because I was realizing that I was experiencing a kind of immoderateness in my thinking. And like I said earlier, I have this loss of clarity because I wasn't real moderate in my thinking. So what is moderation? It means balance, calmness, composure, constraint, coolness, dispassionateness. And there's a German word here called, and I'll never pronounce this correctly, Maßlosigkeit. And I'll go ahead and play that up on dict.cc.
Maßlosigkeit.
Maßlosigkeit.
Hopefully. Unless something's gone wrong with my computer, which is very possible.
Maßlosigkeit.
Maßlosigkeit.
Seems to be behaving I believe you said strangely. So maybe I won't play that. Hang on a second. There's a website called dict.cc that you can stick German words into and it will pronounce them for you. And it's very, very helpful sometimes, particularly for pronunciation. And that's very, very something I like to do. For some reason, the program will pick this up typically. So we'll try it one more time, if we can.
Maßlosigkeit.
I think I'm getting some kind of ad that's popping up.
Maßlosigkeit.
Maßlosigkeit.
Yeah, I think I inadvertently clicked something earlier. That's screwed me up big time. Well, hopefully I'll be able to fix that. Some of the English definitions for Maßlosigkeit: gluttony, exorbitance, immoderateness, enormousness, self-indulgence. So we don't want to be that way. We want to. Intemperance was the translation on DeepL. So intemperance is a lack of moderation or restraint. So when you ever have that loss of clear thinking, tell yourself that the loss of clear thinking, the lack of methodical planning, maybe you need to simplify things. Be more moderate. Don't be so excessive. Go to step one in the process rather than trying to do 10 steps at once. There's an article, a very, very good article up on the Future Mankind site that talks about the dangers of desires, which to a degree relate to being immoderate. And I just want to read this quickly because the term Maßlosigkeit is used there. It says the spiritual teaching teach that desires should be recognized, eliminated, and neutralized, because by the extinguishing of them, as well as the illusions connected with them, sufferings are eliminated, which can be very harmful in terms of consciousness and psychically very harmful. So this, again, is another really good article up on the Future of Mankind site, and it's called The Philosophy of Life. So take a look at that when you get some free time. It's very, very helpful. So in the Figu dictionary, it shows Maßlosigkeit used with the term overpopulation, the German term overpopulation, which is Überbevölkerung. And there is a great, again, what I was talking about earlier, there's seven virtues of the human being. And number one on the list was moderateness, which this is something that I think I'm still coming to. It's just something that's so new. Although I'm sure I've looked at this to a degree before. I mean, if I've been through this book so many times. But immoderateness is something that sneaks up on us. I'll go ahead and bring you guys in if you want, Solon and Stephen. And jump in here wherever you like.
Well, thanks. How are you doing today, Mark?
Good. How are you?
Doing great, man. Yeah.
Do you have something from the goblet?
I do, yeah. I can read a little bit. He's got an immoderacy that maybe give a little bit more insight as to what we're talking about.
Right.
It's on page 363 if anybody's got the book, and verse 41 it starts. Now, bear with me when I'm reading this because sometimes it's a little bit clumsy for me to read, so I'll do my best.
No problem.
Immoderacy or immodesty is expressed in various scopes or areas of the life. Therefore, within your own scope, your own personal area, as false satisfaction, which is egotistical satisfaction, or unsatisfaction, which he has as immoderateness.
Okay, let's step back there. Are mm-hmm. they saying that immoderateness and unsatisfaction are really close?
It seems like it, yeah, as we begin to unpack this, yeah.
You know, unsatisfaction, it says in the book Mind of Thoughts, unsatisfaction kills off all striving for that which is higher. So literally, unsatisfaction, it's one of the things I say over and over again from the book. Unsatisfaction mm-hmm. is one of the things that just derails your spiritual life, which I didn't know. I was completely unaware of. So it sounds like immoderateness and unsatisfaction are almost, they're very close then, I guess.
And it's such a subtle thing, being unsatisfied and how much it can derail you.
Oh, it's so subtle. And sometimes you're unsatisfied mm-hmm. and you don't even know it. You don't really know that right. it's unsatisfaction. You kind of think of it as more as a problem that you need to work through, but really what it is a lot of times unsatisfaction.
Does it come through first in like your thoughts and your feelings, though?
I think
if you're paying attention to that.
Yeah, I think your feelings will alert you when the unsatisfaction sneaks in.
Well, it kind of continues in the next sentence.
It says, as well as
externally towards people of your own kind, which human beings, as well as in your thoughts, feelings, actions, and deeds. Immodesty urgently requires constant composure, control, or contentment, whether with regard to eating and drinking, in the bearing, which is your behavior or your conduct, and towards people of your kind, your fellow human beings, or in your actions and activities. And 42 says, immodesty is the source of pathological craving in the eating, which is gluttony.
That's so funny. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's like telling my life story here. Gosh. Go ahead.
Pathological craving in the drinking, which goes to alcoholism. Yeah, pathological craving in the drive, which is craving for sex.
Yeah.
And however, also a pathological craving of any kind, which is detrimental to the well-being, to your health, and instability, infamous actions or crimes, and licentiousness of any type or kind or form. And truly, immodesty or uncontentment can only be overcome through a useful regulation in the thoughts and feelings and through truthfully moderation, modesty, and contentment, as well as through one's own composure or restraint and a directed or controlled regulation of the leading of the life, your life conduct.
A Lebensführung, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Okay, this is a mind blower because it's one of these things that snuck up on me, you know? Like, a lot of times when I'm reading this book, I'll come across something and I'll say, wow, that is just awesome. And then there are other times when I read through something and I have to come back later. And this is one of those times. So this immoderateness is a huge, huge topic.
It really is, yeah. Oh,
gosh. You know, I almost wish you would just read that first sentence again.
Sure. In the first paragraph I read?
Yeah.
It says, immodesty is expressed in various scopes or areas of the life. Therefore, within your own scope, your own personal area, as a false satisfaction, egotistical satisfaction.
Egotistical satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I could just contemplate that for a while. So we're satisfying the ego. The ego is the one of the two personalities we have, right? We have the innermost personality, which comes mm-hmm. from our spiritual consciousness. We have this ego, which is more related to our material consciousness. And immoderateness satisfies the ego or the material consciousness. Is that what that's saying?
I think you're dead on, yeah.
Wow. Continue.
One aspect of it, yeah. And then it says, and unsatisfaction or immoderateness, as well as externally towards people of your kind, human beings, as well as in your thoughts, feelings, actions, and deeds. So as false satisfaction and unsatisfaction.
You know, the other thing, when I was looking at that one article, which let me switch back to, that says the seven main virtues of the human being. Down mm-hmm. here at number six is carefulness. And this is just my weird brain. That really clicked because, like, I think a lot of times, you know, I play chess against the computer and I notice that when I lose or when I get in trouble, I'm careless. And I'm thinking, man, that's there must be a lesson there. Carelessness, you know, you're not careful. Mm-hmm. And I think I have done something to my configuration on my computer now that won't let me play this stuff at dict.tc. And I think I accidentally said yes to a prompt I wasn't paying any attention to when I was probably looking at something on YouTube. So it's just so, there's just, when you come across this material, I'm telling you, it's almost spooky how much information and how it correlates.
Well, for sure.
You know, I mean, what you're reading, why don't you continue just at least one more line with from the goblet is just amazing.
Let's see here. Well, hey, Solon, do you have anything to add to this, bud?
He's hiding back there. He's got his dog barking.
That's my chair.
Your chair is a dog. I know, you got a little dog there. You do, he's barking, man.
I have no dog, no. You know, so now I understand. Now, I had this on my wall, but I had the German, and I've actually never looked up the English. So you guys have a definitely different view of it than I do.
Explain. I mean, this verse light of thoughts?
No. I thought this was great because it explains. To me, this is very similar to being modest, you know, not saying too much either, you know, to yourself or to another, you know, like not overloading things. We have a lot of sayings in English about this, in my opinion. But when you brought up number six, is the one where I was like, oh, I didn't know that was how that translated.
Oh, so you have those seven main virtues you said up?
I actually have them written on my wall. I wrote them like probably about a year ago.
And they're in German. You have it in German.
Yeah.
Is that right? I mean,
correct. Yeah. But
did I just lose somebody?
Can you not hear me?
Oh yeah, we went quiet for a minute. I lost you for a minute. Go ahead, continue.
Oh, interesting. Well, I mean, I have a lot of examples about this first one here, this Mäßigkeit. That's the one I have on my wall, is the German.
Okay. Ah. Mäßigkeit.
It is Mäß, because I have the umlaut A, so it's like a E sound, so it's like E. Actually, I shouldn't pronounce, I'm really bad with umlauts, but I know it's Mäßigkeit. I see that as like in measurement. For instance, whenever someone's making a cake or whatnot, you're using exactly the ingredients. And sometimes when people overdo it, the cake will taste this way or that way, and it might not be pleasant anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's with being in that measurement, or this like being modest in a sense.
So moderateness deals with measurement.
The proper measurement, proper amount, right?
Yes.
Oh, I see. I see. Exactly. That's a good analogy, yeah.
Well, and that's how I see it in the German. It's like you don't overdo things or and almost don't underdo things too.
I don't know if I'm breaking up. Steven, were you able to hear Solon there? He kind of went quiet.
It's been that way even on your end a couple times so far. So
quiet.
Oh, so it's not me?
It's not just you, no.
Okay.
Hopefully. There you go.
Well, some of the listeners might be interested in knowing what the seven main virtues are, so because sometimes they connect to each other, you know what I mean? Because right now we haven't discussed what the seven are.
Should I read those again?
I think to read them, yeah, because I don't remember you reading them. So
maybe I didn't. Moderateness, steadfastness, attentiveness, honesty, discretion, carefulness, and benevolence. So interesting. Everything went quiet for me again.
I'm trying to write them down. That's why.
I'm trying to take it in. I'm looking at my wall, and I was like, okay, I didn't know how that translated.
Solon, are you speaking?
Can you guys not hear me?
I can hear you. No.
Oh, okay. So it's
very
side.
Interesting here, I guess. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
I think I'm fading in and out is what I'm doing, right?
Yeah. At the beginning, you went quiet. It's hard to backtrack on a radio.
Yeah, I think I'm fading in and out today. Sorry about that, guys.
I'm sorry. Can I repeat those, Mark, in case? Because I was trying to jump. You got moderateness, steadfastness, attentiveness, honesty, discretion. Is it discretion?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Carefulness and benevolence?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me throw the link in. Then you guys can see it, I guess, hopefully.
That's quite interesting, some of those translations.
You don't like those? Some of them, or you wouldn't have chose a different word? Or?
Yeah, some of them are dead on. But number three and six, and I like discretion for five. I guess it's just I don't know the English that well.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost see that as
what
also,
would you define number six as? Would you use the word carefulness?
I see it as like foresightedness, like, you know, not just looking at the present, but also looking about how to relate
long
term.
I'm hating that it's breaking up like this. Would you use carefulness, Solon?
For six?
Yeah.
I can see it. It's to me, it's looking at things long term. You know, for instance, if you do have a bad habit, seeing what it will do to you long term, and you could be like, "Well, I need to fix this." But if you only see it from a short term gain, then you're almost kind of not being careful in a way.
What but, German word is there under the hood?
For six is Forsichtigkeit. So it's literally like foresightness is how I would translate it.
Wow.
So it's like thinking long term. And if you think about it, that is being careful because you're like, you know, it's almost like you're walking across a very fast moving stream.
You know what it makes me think of again as a chess game where you move too quickly and you do not think things through and you do not see what ultimately will happen two or three steps down the line, even from the move that you just made.
I'm glad you're bringing more detail to this, Solon, because it makes a lot more sense to connect, you know, because they're both good words, but adding them together, it gives you a little bit better picture of what they're looking at. And it's to me more clear, you know, so I appreciate it.
To me, carefulness reminds me of like a chess game. Where you haven't just, you know, sometimes you'll just move and you haven't analyzed what are the side effects or what will happen three steps mm-hmm. down the line.
And that's how I see it as well. I think that's
I wonder
perfect.
If there's
analogy.
Any way for me to reconnect. Without losing anything. I don't think so.
This is somewhat painful.
You're both coming across fine to me, so.
Oh, you can hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I'll just, I don't know. I want to hear, you guys go quiet, and I'm not sure if, you know, you can hear me or not, but it's interesting. We've got a storm out here. Not a bad one, but it looks like it's just kind of sitting, hovering over this area. So this was kind of spooky, actually, when I was studying this. I'm like, wow. Moderateness, you know, is this really important? And then suddenly I look at this whole page. 176 is just talking about moderateness all over the place. So let me read a little bit of this in context. It says, "It is the nature of the thoughts that by means of their might alone, every conceivable thing can be brought to fruition. However, before anything can be achieved and brought to fruition, the thoughts must raise themselves above any extreme immoderateness." and therefore eliminate it in order to make the necessary room for healthy, positive purposefulness. This means, in order to be successful, the human being must renounce his or her selfishness, which as a rule degenerates into immoderateness. And once the thoughts are controlled by immoderateness, then neither a clear thinking nor a methodical planning can come about, resulting in every determination having to therefore fail. Therefore, selfishness and immoderateness must be dissolved and eliminated in order to discover and develop one's latent resources. Any comments on any of that? That was amazing.
I think it's a lot of it's tied to your ego.
Yes.
Elaborate.
You know, like all the immoderateness, and it's being fueled by your ego because that wants to be satisfied. And so you might be extreme or you might be immoderate in certain things because your ego wants that. And so, go ahead, Sola.
Well, I have a good example for this that I tend to talk about typically when I'm around men. And it has to deal with the way the opposite sex will dress sometimes where they're too revealing.
Mm.
And it's almost like you can't look away. You can't stop thinking about it. And they're just, you know, you guys probably know what I'm talking about.
And you get that pathological craving.
But at that particular point, it becomes our inner, our drives, our instinctual side comes out. And it becomes hard to sometimes control that for each individual person is different, of course. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, there's two things that go on. Like one thing, you know, this other person might like the attention and dresses like that. And there's like this ego-ness where they like that. And this is only how I see it from a male perspective. And then my ego's wanting to, you know, go over there and talk to them and whatnot. But, you know, many things come through when this takes place, of course.
That's a great example.
And, yeah.
Let me throw a few other ones out. I'll get you guys to comment. What about speeding? Would that be immoderate? Speeding. Speeding in your car. You're driving too fast. So you're in that fast lane and you're going 80, and then you come up behind someone that's only going 75. So you drive 3 inches behind their bumper. Are you being immoderate?
you're not using much foresight or carefulness.
What about cage fighting? What about UFC cage fighting? Is that a moderate activity?
Well, it depends. Are you watching it every hour of every day?
Okay, there you go. Yeah, good enough.
I mean, I look at it another, you know, angle is that we do need to know how to defend ourselves, right? Yeah.
I got another. So, I don't know if you guys can hear me or not.
I can. Yeah.
Probably not.
I can't.
Climbing Mount Everest, is that a moderate activity?
Mountain climbing?
What about most video games? Do video games create an immoderateness in people?
I mean, they're making them addictive for that reason, so they can keep people's attention.
I agree.
Yeah, that's the
but
one.
Do I think they're immoderate per se? No, but it's hard to regulate that. They're designed to exploit that, and to take it out of control. Right.
That's exactly what happens to me when I start playing them. I can't stop. I just play. It's just ridiculous.
But see, I look at it like this though too, because I talk to my boys about this because they love playing games. Mm-hmm. Is you got to utilize your discipline to know when to stop and to say, okay, it's enough, because they are addictive. I mean, they're designed that way.
And there's something about, I mean, it's just my own life with playing the guitar. I cannot seem, it's hard for me to explain this, but I do it impulsively. Mm-hmm. Like if I plan it and try to do just a little bit here and a little bit there, and then it feels like work. Then I don't want to do it. Like, it has to be impulsively. So maybe my, like Stephen was saying, maybe the ego is involved in there. Mm-hmm. Or self-indulgence. Maybe that's the key.
But sometimes that creative side, right? It just wants to flow, right?
It does. It really does. It really, really does.
You know,
another thing I've created is I have a list now, like a to-do list, and it goes to a whole bunch of areas, a whole bunch of different areas in my life. And I'm noticing when I put a little time, which is moderation, when I put just a little bit of time on these areas, then they don't really get out of control, if you know what I mean. Like the front of my part of the front porch of my house, you know, I have a lot of bugs and things, and like I will let it go too long before I clean it. You know what I mean? So if I do it a little bit at a time, and then it stays in much better condition.
And so I want to go back to the music you were saying down here. The seven mites of the formation of the psyche. Music is in there.
You got quiet. Seven mites of the formation of the psyche?
Yes.
Right, number two is music/singing, right?
Yeah, there you go. And you typically when you're down.
It's interesting to see how this is all recorded and what it all sounds like. Can you guys hear me now?
Solon's talking right now.
The seven mites of the formation of the psyche: love, music, poetry, nature, satisfaction, light, peace. Try comment again, Solon. I'm sorry.
Well, you notice that when people are down, sometimes they're saying, "Yeah, I hear you."
Solon's talking right now.
We'll have to be moderate about this.
This is great.
Maybe Solon can
I
just
think
type
this is the first time we've ever had a problem like this.
Yeah.
You want to try to sign out and get back in or no?
Who, me? Should I?
Very strange.
Can you hear me, Mark?
I'm not hearing you guys at all.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
This I can hear you so well.
It's a conversation too, darn it. Oh, you guys can hear me?
Yeah.
Somebody type me. Oh, Stephen left. Okay, Solon, if you can hear me, Solon, then I'm just going to flow for a little while, and at least I can be heard. So I'll flow with some of this for a little while, and then I'll try to pull you guys back in here in a few minutes. So so anyway, this is evidently fairly important. So immoderateness is something for us to be careful about. Maslogsikheit, gluttony, exorbitance, immoderateness, enormousness, self-indulgence. So the deep L translation is intemperance. So one thing to look for is whenever you cannot think clearly or you're having trouble being methodical or doing methodical planning, look and make sure that you haven't had any immoderateness move its way into your thinking. Remember, neutral positive is neither negative nor very positive. And right around this page, there's a couple other very important verses here. It says, "The human beings who do not overcome their weaknesses and do not free themselves from the contents of all their negative and destructive thoughts remain weak, wretched, and miserable." This was the one of the ones I had memorized for a while, but it seemed to fade away for some reason. In order to be successful, the human beings must renounce his/her selfishness, which as a rule degenerates into immoderateness. And once thoughts are controlled by immoderateness, then neither clear thinking nor methodical planning come about, and they result in every determination having to therefore fail. And it just turns out, like I said earlier, the seven main virtues of the human being, number one is moderateness. So This is me learning something right along with all of you guys. Now, a couple weeks ago, we went over a verse in the Might of Thoughts on page 178, and it said, life always forms according to the thoughts which are chosen, tended, and nurtured. Notice it says the life always forms according to the thoughts, not sometimes forms according to the thoughts, but it always forms according to your thoughts that you've chosen, that you've tended, that you've nurtured. So that means at all times, on all occasions, every time, each time, your thoughts always form according to the thoughts that you have chosen. So the key here is not to have thoughts randomly popping in your head. Instead, make a conscious decision to choose your thoughts. Select the best thoughts, the most appropriate thoughts. It means to pick out of more than one alternative. So, and you can make the argument that this whole book, Might of Thoughts, is to teach us to choose the best or appropriate thoughts. And one thing we're told to do, which I think is so interesting, is to nurture your thoughts. I've had some successes at work lately, and I thought to myself, you know, I have to nurture that. Nurture those feelings. Nurture those thoughts. They should produce confidence. So care for those thoughts. So if you do have success in some area, you should nurture those thoughts. Think about those thoughts where you feel confident, you're optimistic, you're relaxed, you're cheerful, you're enthusiastic. Nurture those thoughts. Those are thoughts that you should cherish. And if your powerful thoughts, your nurtured thoughts, can lead to intellectual achievements and successes. And they will do that because of the might of your thoughts. So be magnanimous about your thoughts, especially towards someone that might be a little less powerful than you in your thinking. So magnanimous is used to describe people that have a inner stillness and moderateness. And one of the most important things is to take time to dream. And Billy says, were there no human beings who occupied themselves with dreaming, visions and fantasies, the progress would stop, whereby there would also be no learning. So dreamers, visionaries, fantasizers are very important people. In fact, Billy says, he puts it like this, the dreamers, the visionaries, the fantasizers, as well as those most enthusiastic about evolutions who are the savior of the world. Now, a visionary is a person with original ideas. A fantasizer is a person who dreams about something that's desired. So humanity should never forget nor never insult our dreamers and our visionaries. So regardless of how bad your current circumstances are, your surroundings always form according to your thoughts. And the human being stands or falls according to his thoughts, his ruminations, his visions, his ideas, his fantasies. You know, the Meyer information doesn't leave any room for the victim mentality that is so prevalent today. The Meyer information, it teaches us self-responsibility. So rumination means to ponder, to brood, to think, to ruminate. So if you're involved in rumination, make sure it's neutral positive thoughts and not negative.
I got one here if you want me to add.
The negative rumination can create a kind of dysphoria that'll interfere with your focus and your ability for problem solving. So make sure if you're going to continue to think about something, make it be something positive. Continue to nurture your thoughts. Because if you continue to churn over emotional upsets, that can cause big problems. On page 202 of the Might of Thoughts, it says, in fact, all these confused, incapable, and unknowledgeable, as well as resentful and erring human beings do not see the fact that all these human beings who envy and insult have voluntarily taken upon themselves failures, errors, and battles, as well as efforts and hardships, in order to give their lives a zeal and to work themselves up. So don't have jealousy towards people that have had some successes. And let's see if I can bring my my partners back in. Guys, Stephen, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I don't hear him. Man.
Can you hear me, Mark?
Solaner, do I hear you? Probably not.
Hello.
Nothing. But you guys can hear me.
Yes.
So I guess I'll try to fly solo a little bit longer. And if you guys want to reconnect, I don't know if that'll help. I hope that would help. But I'll continue here and see where it leads us. I'm so much enjoying that conversation with you guys. I'd like to start that back up again. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to flow here a little bit onto some other topics. I wanted to talk about page 224 of the Might of Thoughts today, something we've talked about a lot. And this is the line that says, this is a contrast to entangled ideas confuse the thoughts. You know, which is a little bit like immoderateness, because immoderateness screws up our clear thinking. It screws up our methodical planning. So there's also these tangled ideas which confuse the thoughts and go abruptly from one extreme to another, whereby a misdirection of the thoughts arises, which triggers emotions that can lead to murder and manslaughter. This is on page 224. One of the best pages on this book. And he talks about ideas, I-D-E-A-S. They're incompletely developed factors which need to be thoroughly contemplated. These ideas, people get caught up on ideas and they can't become free of them. And the thoughts are not organized when you have I-D-E-A-S. Now, ideals with L, these are things you've thought through enough. But with ideas, you get a kind of frantic behavior. And Billy traces this cause and effect that takes place in our minds. For example, he says that tangled ideas confuse the thoughts. So the tangled ideas are the cause, and the effect is the confusion. So tangled ideas are the cause, the effect is confusing the thoughts. And that can lead to thoughts going abruptly to extremes, which leads to a misdirection of the thoughts, which can trigger emotions, which can lead in violence or manslaughter. So there's this order in the universe. There's something called system and order. Truthfully, everything, therefore, has its order determined through information, which manifests through the law of causality, respectively, cause and effect. So there's this cause and effect that's taking place. So if your thoughts get tangled, if they get twisted, if they're untidy, if they're confused, if they're mixed up, if they're messy, if they're chaotic, if they're in a mass, if they're interlaced, if these are intertwisted threads, tangled means a twisted mass, a snarl. That's a tangled mass of things that are not in a state of order. If that happens, your thoughts will become confused. You will not be able to think clearly. You'll be bewildered. Confusion is a disordered consciousness, and that may include the loss of linear thinking. Remember where I was talking about the immoderate leads to inability to have clear thoughts and inability to have methodical planning? You may lose your ability for this step-by-step thinking, or you'll see it's being impeded. You're sensing things just aren't flowing the way they should. Sometimes get up and take a break when that happens. So the thoughts then go from one extreme to another, from love to hate. This causes a misdirection of the thoughts, and the emotions are triggered. And this can lead to murder and manslaughter. So you lose the room for rationality in your consciousness under these. Irrationality and virtuelessness start to govern in your consciousness, and it's very difficult to set the zeal, what Billy calls the zeal. And you can only have ideas, I-D-E-A-S. The idea, you can't convert it into an ideal when your thoughts are confused. So you need to look at the ideas, contemplate them, work them through, recognize the values and the unvalues in the ideas. And it can take months or years sometimes to change these unvalues. And we were talking about video games earlier. They become something you're obsessed with. It's an unvalue. So we have to learn to handle the values and the unvalues. And we need to direct our life towards an evolutive striving. And that will lead us to gain values that are progressive and higher. And it will create what's called an evolutive attitude, where your ideas can form into ideals and can come to fruition. So anyway, this is from the book The Might of Thoughts, the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Figu is his group. They have a bulletin. It's called Bulletin 68, and it talks about unvalues that are characteristic of psychopaths. And those are ones, for example, let me give you some ideas of unvalues, what these are. Lack of logical decisions, lack of rational conduct, frequent change of sexual partner, boredom, parasitism, manipulative behavior, dazzling people, a sense of unfairness. People that are psychopaths are really hung up on unfairness. You tend to endorse torture. You have a very hateful mentality. You don't have remorse. This is the psychopath. A lack of deep-reaching thoughts and feelings. A lack of empathy. So this is just 13 of the 70 negative characteristics related to psychopaths. I think we've all had one or two of those before in our lives. That's Bulletin 68, which is good to take a look at sometimes. Some of the other characteristics of psychopath is the breaking of promises, the lack of self-control, unhonesty, disloyalty, a tendency towards sadism and divisiveness, a strong willingness to go to war, a pathological craving for profit, self-praise, self-adulation, pathological angriness, a lack of remorse, severe impulsiveness, a penchant for cheating and swindling people, lack of self-cognition, unconcernedness. So, Billy talks about this, and he says, now that is a clear statement with regard to the factors which give rise to psychopathy. But how is it, if more than 18 of the mentioned characteristics apply to a human being, can it be said that the psychopathy becomes more frequent? You're pathological, you're a psychopath, if you have 18 or more of these. So it's a scary thing, something to keep ourselves aware of. I want to talk a little bit, and I think we're going to be taking, hopefully we'll go to the break here in about 5 minutes, and that will reset, and we can get back on a normal roll here. I'm surprised that the guys can still hear me, because I don't hear anything. I don't even hear any background noise, which was very, very unusual. There is another creational natural law. It's called system and order. And let me read this. This is solely by the law of system and order, the universe will be maintained. In this law of system and order, the absolute universal love is embedded, which by its own effort, every form of life must acquire. So there's this kind of universal love. Billy talks about it. So he talks about it as the first creational natural law. Love is the highest principle in all creation. And through it, everything exists in absolute logic. So universal love is absolutely logical. And system and order is an expression, perhaps, of this universal love. I gave an example a couple weeks ago, I think, maybe it was last week, of how love manifests in ways sometimes you don't think of in the animal kingdom. Are we live?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, guys. Wait, I have to turn my phones off. I have no idea what's going on with them. For some reason, they've decided to stop working. But can you barely hear me?
There's a little bit of background noise, but it's fine.
Well, I'm off in the distance.
Oh, okay. Not like you're in a tunnel.
Yeah. So, well, hopefully, either I got to get some new earphones or figure out what's going on. So what did you guys think about that whole idea of immoderateness?
I loved it.
Yeah, that's going to be something I'm really going to have to take some time to wrap my mind around, because I don't think I've... It's one of those things that's, you know, sometimes what I have found is that when you're studying this stuff, you have to step away from it sometimes and really kind of think about it. Sometimes it takes me a couple weeks to really be able to make sense of something. Have either of you guys experienced that?
Oh, big time.
Shit. I feel like I need more than a week.
A month. Or more.
Yeah.
You were talking about nourishing those thoughts, Mark, right? And it reminded me again, like when you talked about the garden and how Billy's likened it to a garden. Well, you nourish a garden, right? You tend after it. That's the same thing. You tend and nurture your garden just like you do your thoughts.
That's a very, very good point. There is later in the book, he says, I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the sea of conscious and unconscious intentions. I nurture my thoughts. I clarify my thoughts. I strengthen my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, every thing can come to fruition. And the new one that I've learned, he says, life always forms according to the thoughts that are chosen, tended, and nurtured. So I'm going to have to try to put a little more concrete examples on what nurturing means. But I know that repetition is part of it, but there's also understanding that comes with the nurturing. And I also notice that when I have nurtured my thoughts to a degree, that a lot of anxiety goes away. And I can, so there's, I think there's a lot of background anxiety that is almost like background noise that we have in our life, and we're not always aware of it. And when we can get rid of the background noise, and that's where Billy talks about clarifying. That's the way I see it anyway. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've got one more thing I can read for you if you want that kind of ties this together as well.
Perfect.
This is from the Gobble of the Truth, page 503, verse 78. It says, begin to think of the pure truth and to bear your responsibility for your existence and for everything that you nourish and cherish in terms of ideas, thoughts, and feelings that you act and do handle, that you act and do and handle. When you have dirty and terrible ideas, thoughts, and feelings, clean them and build thereout good things and the best. Because you are enabled to do this through the creational energy and power that is acting in you. So you can give everything a distinct direction through your kind of your will and your decisions through which you can reach the noblest and highest if you make an honest effort.
You always find the best passages in the Goblet of Truth. You do, man. I can never, never find the best passages in the Goblet of Truth. I always have the best time.
I got to thank Dr. Ron for that because, I mean, really, that index is pretty handy.
Oh, are you using that index, huh?
Yep, I do.
Wow, that's great. Now, it says here, this means in order to be successful, the human being must renounce his or her selfishness, which as a rule degenerates into immoderateness. Now, why would selfishness turn into immoderateness?
It's tied to the ego.
Yeah, it's out of balance. It's just you.
Elaborate on that more. So,
well,
if we're selfish, then the next step is immoderateness, probably.
Well, you know, to me, this whole thing is about a measurement, and it's about when it's, you know, if it's too much to one side or the other, it's out of balance. Goes with the law of harmony.
That's a great observation. Yep.
So, you know, if one person is too selfish or only about their and not towards the whole or the people around them, then it is imbalanced and out of measure.
I think another real key point is seeing the connection to the creational laws, right, and recommendations. It was kind of a vague thing to me when I first started this because I just didn't know what that meant. But now the more we study, the more I'm seeing, okay, well, what is creational? What is, well, that you're a part of something, right? That you're not going to abuse your fellow human being if you fully understand that we're all in this and we're all part of the same thing, right? And you respect life. So you're not going to rip that person off. You're not going to cheat and steal and abuse and all these other things because why? Well, you understand from an inward level that you're all a part of the same thing, you know, and you wouldn't do that to yourself.
Yeah. Someone told me they went to the Samyazi Silver Star Center in Hendrix McGruity. The Mother Center was referred to, and there was a plaque there that says, remember, we are all the same.
Well, now that's interesting. I'd love to hear that explained in more detail. We're all the same.
Well, I mean, when it goes back to what you were saying about the selfishness of if you know, you're only seeing things from just yourself and you don't think that it's valuable to have other inputs, it's like you've lost touch with reality in a way.
Well, that creational spirit energy that's within us is a part of the whole, right? So it's a part of the one, the oneness.
Yes.
That's what joins us all, Mark. In my opinion, that's what makes it simple.
Yep. There you go.
So is the ego then the part that's separate?
Yeah.
Yep. It's
so
a false self. It's a false self. You know, it seems real.
Now you got something.
Well, to me, it's very real in the material plane.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's definitely protecting that side.
Oh, yeah.
And it just needs to be balanced. You don't want to, like, throw it away. It's there to help you as well as your inner self.
But it is called the Erat Self.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a German, right? Do you remember that word?
I'm not familiar with what you just said.
Oh, the Erat Self. It's a...
The advising self? Is that what you're trying to say?
False self.
Yeah, E-R-A-T-Z maybe, something like that. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, we all have material consciousness, and we all have an ego. And it says it's garrulous, it's talkative, it's threatened by your evolution. So the material consciousness, it can be a problem. You know, your ego can be a problem.
It's, you know what it reminds me of, you guys, is that striving, right? Our spirit has to strive against something too, and that's what it strives against. See, it's that opposing force that this whole universe, the negative and the positive, it's like that, it's the envelope, but it's the same thing.
That is interesting. So you're saying the negative aspects of the ego are there to balance out. To literally balance out the spirit form.
It has to strive against it, I think. I don't know.
Strive against it. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It's kind of a shame in a way, but yeah.
Is that right, Solana, but based on what you can figure or no?
Well, so here's how I see it. You have your consciousness that gets input from both of these things, from both the inner self as well as the ego.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like up to you to balance it, and that's what this whole thing we're talking about now. Mm-hmm. It's up to you to balance this.
Mm-hmm.
If one gets out of balance, which, to be honest with you, it's typically the ego on this planet that becomes out of balance, where like the other one would be like fantasy land and you're no longer in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, there's more to it than that, of course. And so, to me, it's a balancing act between the two.
So you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, as they used to say.
yeah, you're too fantasy, you're mm-hmm. you're caught up. Yeah,
interesting.
Within us, we, you know, when you gotta remember, when we go to sleep, we have this whole nother world, this dream world, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
and daydreaming. You know, it's almost like you're consciously doing this.
You want to hear something funny? I yell a lot in my sleep. My wife, man, I yell in my sleep. The dogs run away. I mean, it's funny. My wife is like, "You were yelling again last night. Do you remember anything?" I say, "No, I don't remember anything." So the subconscious must have a war. There's some kind of war going on there. Who knows what it is? Isn't that funny?
It's interesting, yeah.
It's so funny.
Probably something to that, Mark.
Oh, there probably definitely is. Here's the one line that I thought was very interesting. Therefore, selfishness and immoderateness must be dissolved and eliminated in order to discover and develop one's latent resources. So this selfishness, this immoderateness, is holding back the development of some aspect of our consciousness.
Well, man, I feel like there's more context. For instance, when you're viewing something, and instead of viewing it for what it is, and you color it by putting what you think it already means, then you're no longer viewing it for what it really is. Instead, you're viewing it for the way you want to see it.
Wow, that is, I like that.
So, well, I mean, when you say that, I'm trying to figure out if this is the contents, or if there's something deeper that maybe even I don't understand. Mm.
So in other words, we all have bias.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And from our experiences.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. We have bias. Bias is one way or another. Did you guys hear a bunch of noise?
I heard some dog.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's when my yelling starts. Get out of here, you. I'm sorry. Okay, so, but immoderateness and selfishness is a big deal. So our moderateness is the number one, is it virtue or value?
I don't understand the question.
So on, you have the seven from the Geissus layer. Are those seven virtues or seven values?
They're
virtues before
the there's seven of seven, so I'm not sure what seven we're referring to here.
I think you said they're virtues before, Mark, but
yes, the main virtues of the human being, that's what we were covering today.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't know that before today. I don't think I'd ever seen that before. I'm trying to look at my notes, so I may sound quieter.
That's good to be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was the other one that you mentioned, Solon? You had the seven virtues of the humans, and then you had something about the psyche or something?
Yeah, so when he started talking about playing his guitar, and then sometimes he doesn't want to... I was just going to bring up that sometimes when we're in a low state, we'll notice that we want to do things that make us happy. Mm-hmm. Typically people who want to improve their well-being. Yeah. And you'll notice that you'll probably listen to music. And it's best to listen to music that's uplifting, but sometimes we listen to music that matches our mood at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I brought that up. I was like, I wonder... That's what's going on with you.
Interesting.
More of a thought.
This is very, very weird. It's very disorienting not being able to have my earphones. Can you guys hear me when I'm this far back?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. So that helps.
You are a little bit lower, though.
Okay. Okay. I don't see my link, which is the weirdest thing in the world. I wonder. You know, it's been one of them days, guys. I bet I have it locally, and it hasn't been put up on the website yet. Oh boy.
Well, I just want to add that I think there's something going on, and it started about 2 weeks ago, that has to deal with technology just not functioning correctly.
Seriously?
Yes. I mean, I feel like every day, anything having to do with electronics mainly, has just fallen apart on me, and I'm like, man, this is just a test of its own for me.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, I've noticed that, you know, on one of the groups I'm in on Facebook, somebody posted a link and they said, I can't get into this. And, you know, I call up one of the service providers that provide my domain names. I can't even go in there and check the DNS. And I'm like, what is going on? This is... And then there's other things, and I've had people from other industries tell me that they're having technology issues, and I'm like, I think it's just maybe that time period.
Well, this case was just me not putting stuff up on the website. I had it locally. Gosh, this is so stupid.
Well, you're looking up that, Mark. Solon, you were mentioning an item six, which was carefulness or foresightedness, but you also mentioned something, and I think the third one, was it?
Yeah. What was that? That was
attentive or something.
Attentiveness. Attentiveness. Yeah. Now, strangely enough, I see that as like gathering work or doing work. Because it's Arbeit sounds kite.
Arbeit is work, right?
Correct. And then Sam is like collecting it. Because Samen is to collect. So it goes with that root word.
If you can think of it so long, send me that word on Slack or something, because I'm going to add that to my compound words. Arbeit means work in German, right?
Correct.
And the second part of that was what again?
Sam. And it goes with Samen. Typically, if you want to greet everyone, you would say, like, hello, zusammen, and it means that you're greeting everyone. But it's like the collecting of everyone that hears it.
But I'm amazed by this compound nature. So if you know the word Arbeit, and then this word that you're saying, which I can't pronounce, pronounce it again.
Well, we have names, Sam and then Samen.
Samen. Arbeit Samen?
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
So, and you're saying that means attentiveness.
Well, that's what it's being translated here as.
How would you translate it?
So I'd be like the one who's like collecting work, like working. Not only are you working, but you're also collecting the work. You're making sure that it's there in front of you. You have it.
This is huge. I mean, this is a perfect example of the hidden meaning in the German, and somebody had to make a big compromise when they translated that to attentiveness, in my opinion, right?
Yeah, but
we lost
it. Still somewhat conveys it.
Do what?
It still somewhat conveys it.
Yeah,
but it's not
like an orderliness. Is that what you're talking about? Like you're ordering things that are coming into your life or something. I'm trying to put this whole idea, not in so much a word as more of a picture, you know, of like what it represents.
He's saying, gathering work. In other words, he's looking for work. He's looking attentive. For work. He's trying to find the next thing that he should strive on. I mean, at least that's what I'm hearing you say, Solon.
That's perfectly way of wording it.
Very good. Okay, there. Now we're getting to it, because now that makes sense to me. Because I was stumbling around with too many bits of information out there. I wasn't able to put it together. So, okay.
So attentiveness is a kind of wishy-washy to me. That's, I don't mean to put anyone down for the translation, because I know this is not an easy thing to do, but I like your translation a lot better. So
yeah. So I try to stick exactly with the German. So that's just me.
You might even want to, I don't know if you have any interaction with, James Moore, the guy that runs this site. They probably translated it to that. I don't know.
Well, from my understanding, this is now part of the UK group, I believe. Yeah. And so only they edit this now.
Really? It never used to be that way.
Yeah, I know it's been changed. I tried to get on there and change. I've had people who had an account that could change, and they don't have access anymore. And so I think that this site has changed, and it's a great location, and I'm not saying anything bad about it. It's just now part of a maybe a study group. I could be wrong. Wow. Probably on their page, actually.
That is so interesting, because, you know, the translation is very important. It's just so important. And, you know, I brought this up before. It can be even a source of conflict at times, right?
What, translating?
Yeah.
Oh, we actually have within the group I'm in, we're literally running into conflicts on how do we go about it, because everyone has their own style. Wow. And, you know, I believe in a democracy, and we all need to come together and agree on something together so no one feels left out.
Right.
And it's massive struggle, because you want to talk about the ego, it comes out there.
Why does the ego come out in translation? It does. It really, really does.
Well,
you know what, though? I look at it like this, guys. Just like having a football coach, right? They might give me some information when I was younger, and it may resonate. It may not resonate. Another coach might give you the same principle but in a different manner, and it clicks with you. The same thing with this, that, you know, it's up to us to do what we're doing right now and to discuss it, right? And whatever clicks with you, it's going to stick with you. It doesn't mean that that's the proper exact translation, but if that concept clicks with you, you're going to remember it and it's going to work for you. So it's a difficult thing. I can't say they're right or wrong. They're just choosing what resonates with them and that makes sense to them.
Well, I can certainly see with, in this case, attentiveness as number three on the seven main virtues of the human being. And if that attentiveness has as the root word Arbeit, you ought to have work somehow involved in that, I would think. I mean, again, this is my bias, my ego, probably.
But what are we attentive to all the time? It's usually our work, right?
Hopefully.
So in a sense, it's there. It's just not as, you know, it's more implicit than explicit.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's the collecting of work is how I see that word, you know. It's like not being idle is really how I would almost say it in the negative.
Okay. You know, so anytime you translate, you're compromising, aren't you?
Always, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a friend who wants to include long paragraphs of how the word functions, and so you really get it, but that goes with this word right here, Arbeitsamkeit. It's like the reader has to go and read all that stuff to fully grasp it, you know?
You know, it would be so helpful, though, if maybe you highlight that word or put a star by it or underline it and then have a place like at the bottom of the page where you can put all that explanation, because that is hugely important. I think it's.
Oh, am I wrong in thinking of it like Jocko Willink puts it? Get after it, you know. Attentiveness.
I don't know who that is.
Get after. Okay.
Who is that?
Jocko. Oh, he's a Navy SEAL that he's written books. He has a podcast, you know. But I just resonate with Jocko because of my prior military experience. But he's a get it done type person, and that's what get after it is one of his things he talks about, you know. So.
Wow. Well, I can certainly see the understanding level that you get from the German is so much deeper, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Solon?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I have a hard time in English because you're going to say a word and I know the German and I don't know that word in English, what you're referring to.
So you know German now? You feel like you know German better than you do English?
Well, when it comes to Meyer stuff, definitely. I'm having to have people tell me the German of where, how did they get this from Philly stuff? And then they'll say the German to me. And I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy the Germans, because they'll tell me the German. But to each their own, I am not, however someone learns this, it's important that they learn it.
Yeah.
And they understand it.
So, this page that we're looking at on the Future of Mankind site, the UK, this page called Human Being, everything on that page is in sevens.
Yep.
And I don't know that much about it, but that seems very significant. I know there are seven evolutionary steps for human beings. There are seven space-time configurations in our universe, and I find out there are seven main virtues of the human being.
Yep, seven main powers, seven elements, right? I could be wrong.
Have you ever heard that described in any more detail?
What?
Why is it always seven? I've always been fascinated like this, where we see patterns.
I don't know, but Billy definitely talks about the sevenness, or Sieben Kaider. I mean, it's all over the place, and I'm definitely not qualified to speak upon it, because it's, yeah, we haven't discovered everything, and I feel like some of that stuff is put in words until we understand it it's almost an abstract idea to some people, and others might actually fully grasp it. I know some people who study the sciences, they get it, you know, more than someone like me who's trying to figure out.
Well, I think the more that we learn in future time here, you'll see like the code that he's talking about that he puts in these writings. We don't get it right now, but it's something that will probably be linked to this type of thing, you know, like gematry or whatever you want to call it, where people study the Bible and they look at these number sequences and all this other stuff. But there may be something to that we just don't understand right now.
Yeah, I kind of feel like in 800 years, some of the stuff, people look at this and say, wow, this has been out for that long. And they're like, well, we know exactly what this and this and this. I mean, it'll just be something we're learning in school, but we don't understand the inner workings really of the human being like we're being taught now.
Right.
Now, you were talking about, again, not to beat a dead horse here, but you were talking about attentiveness, right? Number three, correct?
Yes, sir.
And I found a website, Figu Australia, that has the German word there. And in Figu Australia, they have Achtsamkeit.
That's the word.
So that's the word. Now, how does that relate to our bike?
Oh, wait. Acht is to pay attention. Okay. That is literally using your attention to... So you're saying... I guess you're saying that I have this written differently than... this is updated.
I really liked where you had Arbeit worked in there. I was just trying to figure it out.
So the ones I have came out of a book. Oh. So I don't know if the book is outdated then, and these are the new updates, or if this is out of date and there has been an update.
Oh, you think Billy updated?
Yes. Yeah. He's constantly updating things. A lot of this stuff is being updated. Like Contact 10 was updated.
You're kidding me.
No.
That's huge.
Well, I mean, you read the New Talmud and it's trying to say when he used spirit, he was talking about the consciousness. I mean, you know, as we evolve, we will have words and we will understand these things, but I feel like we're still at a point where we can understand some of this, but Billy has had to create words, and that's why I think the German language works great for this, because, you know, just breaking down this word right here, I don't know the translation for it, but I understand what he's trying to tell me.
Hmm. The also, it's very interesting here, is the seven areas of evolution of the human being. Do you have that in your book?
Evolution of the human, seven areas, yes, I had that. Mm-hmm. Also, I have all these, actually.
What German word do you see for number five? Under...
Gesetzer Führung.
Uh-huh.
And that's like fulfilling of the laws.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know the translation. I don't have the translation for that. That's pretty bad. I feel like, oh, you know what? They actually have natural law fulfillment here. Hmm. So yeah, it's. So to me, when I look at this, you have both. You have the, well, here it says natural law. So somebody clarified it, because it could also be human laws. And I feel like it goes with the Gewissen that tells you right and wrong. Like, you know, don't do this. This is wrong. It's like trying to protect you. And it's also connected to these laws, this good and bad. And I feel like that's kind of what this is talking about. That is my own way of explaining it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Another interesting word there. Number two, wisdom.
Or yeah, wisdom.
Weisheit.
Weisheit, yeah. Yeah, so one must collect knowledge, and as you collect these things and you put them into practice, you end up gaining you end up gaining wisdom from it.
Now, you know, we have the term Vaisen. We have the term Vaisenheit. And we have a term Weisheit, which means wisdom. So, is there some relationship between those three words? They seem to have an affinity of some way.
Just the height.
And is that a unique word in German, height?
We had this in English with, I was telling you, with the nis and the shuns. Mm-hmm. So, this is grammar. So typically I think nis would be like almost saying you have like a part of it. Sorry. I'm really not qualified to speak on that, actually.
Okay. I was just wondering if you knew. These are kind of just things that pop into my head. Now, for moderateness here, the German word they have is Maßigkeit, which is a little different than the word that I was using there, right?
Yes, and that's what I was saying. It deals with a measurement. And, you know, when you're, so to me, the way we see modestness is almost like a very positive thing, which it is. But if it's done too far, if you go too positive, you go into like humiliation. And then when you go, you know, into the negative, it's, you know, what I was saying, you're too revealing. You're.
Is it just me, or do we as a society, you know, we don't value moderateness? In other words, it seems like everything that we aspire to are people who are not moderate.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like you have to do things right, you know, to the nth degree in order to be successful.
We have to, you know, what's the most important? You lift the most weight, or you run the fastest, or you make the most money, or I don't know, you have the most sex. I don't know.
Everything. Yeah. Win. Yeah.
Yeah, it's extreme.
Yep.
Our whole society worships extremity where we should be moderate.
It rewards it, yeah.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah, this is a huge issue, you know. I'm going to have to spend more time on this. We look up to the billionaires, mm-hmm. where Billy always talking against materialism, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, it gets right in the way of all that, right? That's the root of all these problems that we have.
A lot of it really is. And the nation with the biggest military is the one we look up to, right? Mm-hmm. That's not right. Moderateness, right?
Yeah, but you're also nervous about them as well because of that.
Sure. And what's the biggest city, you know? It's the biggest city that's the most important in our minds.
You know, the biggest powers.
Yeah, it's always the biggest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
You know what's interesting, though, is like little kids, like the small things are always the cutest.
Mm.
You want to look at the opposite spectrum.
Yeah. I think it's good that we can still think that way.
Where do we see balance being rewarded?
We don't reward balance at all, I don't think.
Well,
you do inwardly, though. When you meet somebody who is really harmonious and balanced, you're impressed. You know, when you see somebody who's, because you can almost tell, too. Like, let's say somebody's really successful, but they're out of balance. You can say, yeah, they might have a lot of money, but I wouldn't want their life. I mean, that's just, no thanks.
Divorces, they have.
Yep.
You know, they have lawsuits. You know, look what happened to poor O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that guy, I mean, he had everything, right? He was the most, well, there's the extremes, right? He was the most famous. He was the best athlete, da-da-da-da-da. And then his whole life just crumbled, fell apart.
Well, that's very controversial.
Yeah. You know, there was not moderateness there. Not very much, I don't think.
Yeah, you know, I definitely feel like you notice the people who are in balance when you're around them and you have a conversation and there's no them attacking you, and you sense that when you're around the person more so than it is just reading, you know, an excerpt about the person. I feel like this is the difference between being in person with someone and then having a write-up about someone that contains bias.
Do you think that knowing more about moderateness would help people to not be addicts?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't addiction also totally against moderation?
Yeah.
It's just, and what, to sum all this up, it's being, you know, out of harmony, mm-hmm. no longer in harmony with things. Mm-hmm. Addictions fall under that. It's, you know, you have a craving for something. I mean, it's interesting you brought up the food and the goblet, right? So we know that there's certain pathways that food give us. For instance, when we eat something sugary, we actually feel good. It's like a reward center of our brain, but we do it too often, and you don't get it anymore. I mean, a lot of the drugs are like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it causes, you know, physical problems. You start to gain weight. You can be diabetic. Isn't overweight another example of a lack of moderation?
Well, it depends, because some of it can be genetic.
Sure, right. Sometimes people just have problems like that.
But this
whole one concept of moderation, modesty, is so important.
Yeah. I mean, it's a virtue, right? So I feel like the later lessons of the Goblet, the later chapters that Billy writes, talks more about virtues, and I'm super excited about those.
Now, this page of sevens, this is right from the Geisteslayer? Or is that from the Goblet?
Typically on this website here, they include the source here. So it comes from the set. Yeah, so this is a write-up by Figu Australia. I wonder where they got it.
So it could be from multiple different places even, right?
It's from the Geisteslehrer, Lehrbrief number, I should say this in English, from the Geisteslehrer number 31. So this is... Okay, well, that's actually where I got mine. So I wonder if things have changed then.
So do you get, like, once a month one of these teachings or something like that?
So you get, there's four lessons, and pretty much it's supposed to be one lesson a month. Mm-hmm. Within one book, there's four lessons. And I get, I think, three books, or is it four books? Well, it's pretty bad. I should know this. I think it's four books. No, it's three books. It doesn't matter. It's enough to cover a lesson for each month. And I get four lessons in one book.
So do you go over the Geisteslayer on your own? Is that the way that's supposed to be done, or do you go through it as a group?
So the Geisteslayer is only for yourself, for self-development. But the very first one talks about having a speech partner, and I recommend it to anyone studying this stuff to have someone you can talk to, just like us three.
Sure.
This is very important, because sometimes I think I understand it, and then someone comes to me and says, well, that's not how I see it based off of this sentence, and then I gain more insight and I see maybe I didn't understand it correctly.
Or what happens to me is I read right over something and I just turn off my consciousness. And I just don't even get the significance of something.
So that's another one that goes with this virtue is if I start to develop headaches or I'm no longer grasping this, mm-hmm. then it's time to put it down. Wow. Come back to it later.
There's your moderateness right there.
Right.
So, it's very hard.
Hard to put it down?
Yeah, I always want to read it. I'm always excited about reading it.
That's good.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just me. I enjoy it. So.
I totally went past this line. And this really, it's the whole paragraph about moderation here. So it's just so important. This means in order to be successful, the human being must renounce his or her selfishness, which as a rule degenerates into immoderateness. And once the thoughts are controlled by immoderateness, then neither a clear thinking nor a methodical planning come about, resulting in every determination having to therefore fail. I mean, this is a huge, hugely important thing. Unless you don't care about everything failing.
No. Well,
is that where it gets out of the control of the good human nature, as he talks about?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
Very well could.
Well, I can give you an example of this. Because I like to do such things, if you don't mind.
No, that's great.
So I have the tendency to, when I meet someone, say too much or say something that was not supposed to be said. And that person ends up indirectly getting hurt. And I was like, I should have thought before I spoke. And you do this enough times and people don't want to be around you.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm like, and that's what I mean. Like, so you have like social circles, which I was used to, you could say failing, but I caused it. And, this could easily be corrected by me, thinking before I speak, which, I've gotten a lot better at.
So moderateness, you know, if you take it, we tend to go to extremes, right? We feel sometimes obligated by our schedules to do everything, you know, to try to do everything. When sometimes it's better to just pull back and have a little moderation, you know? So this requires some discernment.
A lot of people think it is weakness, you know. Oh, you're just weak, you know. That's why you're trying to make an excuse, you know, to not have to do whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to be able to draw that line, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time to show some moderation? Just stay home, relax, don't do that, or is it time to go ahead and do that? But that's the number one. Our number one main value is moderation. I need to be putting a lot more thought into this, I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're in order in terms of, like, importantness.
Ah, okay.
I mean, because number 7 is nice. That seems to be dealing with love.
Sure. Absolutely.
I think I heard the music, Mark.
I'll send you 2 files, Stephen.
All right,
guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll talk next week if we can. See you. Bye-bye.
Good night.